This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. I'm going to begin tonight's program with a new anthology, What Redwoods Know, Poems from California State Parks. This small book of poems was published in response to 70 of our beautiful state parks being slated for permanent closure. It still seems unbelievable. In order to save approximately 0.1% of the California state budget, 70 of our magnificent state parks are slated for closure, not temporarily, but permanently. The lungs of this great state are being dissected as if we can do without them. The opening lines of Francisco X. Alarcón's poem, Trees Are Poets, couldn't say it better. Around here, trees are poets. In fall, they turn heavy-hearted. With complete closure of these parks scheduled for September 2012, fall will indeed find us all heavy-hearted, unless we can find a way. The poems included in this small book were inspired by Jack London, Annadelle, Sugarloaf Ridge, Armstrong Woods, McCarracher, Lighthouse, Old Sacramento State Parks, and others. To find a complete list of parks being closed permanently, or to join the California Parks Foundation, go to www.calparks.org and keep your eyes peeled for any opportunity to keep our parks open. So here are just some of the poems that appear in the book. Let's start off with Francisco X. Alarcón. He will read his poem first in Spanish and then in English.
Los árboles son poetas. Sacramento califas. Los árboles aquí son poetas. En otoño les da melancolía. Tristes cambian de color. Dramáticos se deshacen de sus hojas. Por meses parecen clamar. Estamos muertos de frío. Un día, como si nada, despiertan y les salen versos verdes otra vez. Trees are poets, Sacramento califas. Around here, trees are poets. In fall, they turn heavy-hearted. Sad, they change colors. Acting up, they let go their leaves. For months, they seem to cry. We're death cold. Someday, they awake oblivious and start coming up with green verses once again.
This is David Beckman. What the Earth Spirit Said in Annadelle Park. I was walking in Annadelle Park in Santa Rosa one day, and a voice spoke. I wrote it down as verbatim as I could. So you're afraid of earthquakes? You should be. It's me clearing my throat. Now listen up. You can't kill me, but you can hurt me, though not a fraction of how you hurt yourself. Those underground explosions, letting off toxic radioactive stuff with a half-life of what, 2,000 years? That's a heartbeat to me, but for you, 30 lifetimes. Some things are worse than others. Take diamond mines. They're as much an insult as a wound, and typical. You've destroyed thousands of lives to work them, usually men of a different race or skin color than that of the owners, but hey, what else is new? You demonize wolves, snakes, grizzlies, and spiders, but guess what? They don't enslave their own. These streams, my veins and arteries, they'll clean themselves eventually, sort of the same as your liver, which I designed specially when you were in my good graces. It was all part of my plan that you'd work so well when you leave yourself alone and just function naturally. See that butterfly? Icarides missionensis, mission blue. Weighs an ounce and can fly 1,000 miles. Took over 1,000,000 years to perfect. The indigo on the wing alone, 30,000 years to get it right. And now they're all but gone. Thanks a lot. See that flower, Daphne aniorum? Garland Daphne. There were once millions in North America, but you've torn most of them out to build more houses. Sure, you've got to live, but in 7,000 square feet? Give me a break. Just when I'm giving up on you, I listen to Bach or read, I don't know, Emily Dickinson, who, by the way, used to pray to me that she'd meet someone, but I knew it wouldn't work out for, would seriously jeopardize her writing. That's another story. Where was I? Oh, Bach, Dickinson, Matisse. They make me love not just them, but all of you, the whole damn species, all over again. But then I'm a softie. The way you kill astounds me over and over. Something wrong in the frontal cortex, I think. I'll correct it next time around, maybe in a couple hundred thousand years, when your history and a whole new species runs the show. What? You thought you were the pinnacle of creation? Get over it. You're just the first waffle. What's really a hoot are those deluded egocentrics who think the end is coming and they're about to get called up to my side while everyone else is toast? Are they in for a shock? Self-delusion, another bug in the system I need to work out. Do I sound like a grouch? I just wish I felt as I once did, infinite possibilities ahead. So come on. Give me some reason to hope. Meanwhile, tomorrow's another day, and as you like to say, have a good one.
This is Susan Kelly DeWitt, and the name of my poem is Walking Home from the Sacramento Jazz Festival, Old Sacramento, 2004. Thickets of rosemary shrouded in spider webs above the curb, as if we'd disturbed something ancient. The air in a sealed room, a king's burial vault, a pharaoh's tomb. Though the sun and the delta breezes dispel any actual gloom. I imagine a Matisse putting up his easel, shaking out his brushes, setting out his paints. Or an Ache with his heavy camera. Or a Weston with his tripod and lens trained on the webbing's minutiae, so the cross-weavings appear to be glacial trappings of the Miocene mountains draped in ice, as we walk by with the sounds of jazz floating in the distance behind us, gold bass notes, saxophone and banjo driftings wafting our way. I imagine Louis Agassiz crouched beside the green tangle, the pointillist blue flowers, magnifying glass in hand, the sun burning through its disk, enlarging a Drosophila's husk, a piece torn from a skipper moth's wing, lighting up some idea in the mind of error and magnificence.
This is Iris Jamal Dunkel. Feast of Silence. We walk the trail in Annandale, silent, eyes trying to memorize the golden grass and how it fell over, thick with weight. The quiet pool of shade to the spring creek, the lean of redwoods and bay over our bare bodies. But our eyes failed. We began to take small bites, tossing a small gray stone into our throats, or stuffing our mouths with tentacles of moss until we became so ecstatic, so enraged, we bathed full-bodied in the creek mud to our knees, in cool water until the history buried beneath the cool surface, carried to our open hearts until the words came, the truths came. Dream of Jack London. We found his body on the black cliff rocks, pristine as a photograph, chiseled, golden skin. No one seemed alarmed we'd found him. The surf crashed its labored breath, When I held his body, it was still warm with hope. But we left it, traveled down the bluff to the ball held in his honor. The soil was rich. Everyone gathered and drank large glasses of wine while they eyed the maps that divided his land. Then the weather started. Loud gusts gathering around the meeting hall like fists. Darkness inked the room. When we came to, the world was changed. Cars were accordioned together. The tree line was snaggletooth. We walked out, blinking into the late air, still electric with fear, beaded and blurred by wine. The air was thick. The sea stopped breathing. And I knew his body, in all its bright hope, was cold. At Wolf House. This time, I walked directly to the back steps. No circuitous journey, no wide gaze accumulating the destruction of this place. This time, in full light, I meet the gaze of your ghost. And the world drops away, leaving only flies orbiting, a tether of birdsong, distant, tenuous, a heat that rises from the earth like a promise. O fairy ring of redwoods, sprung from fiery tongue, open the blue box of heaven you gate with green fingers. There are two wills at work here, that which will destroy and that which will stubbornly remain. Stone ruins rise, half shadowed and covered in moss, a few iron girders propped to hold up walls. But the breath of wind, that velvet tongue, licks the place clean as a bone. Spirit and story are what keep the fire wash stones in place. What reflects back isn't recordable. It grows in you, seeds to places unknown.
This is Catherine Hastings. Once upon a time in Annadel, we were as rivulets in rain-awakened woods. Beneath the grand arch of limbs we wandered, furred with green. It was all about moss and moisture then, the living spirit of the frame, ribbed and branching. Among the singing sweep, we sensed the deep of it, the entrance to another world, a larger art where even the biggest horse was a fairy transport. We had fantasies and hope as our mortal muscles moved past cats and quails, spice bush, monkey flowers, three riders on three Norwegian fjords. The countdown to closure had stopped in place. There were fox dens and snake caves, and a woman running with perfume and pearls, but no blotting out, no grave for this light, this life. And then, just because, a picnic bench, silence, sealed and secret. Breathing, Jack London State Park. This is where it is done, beneath the canopy of trees above and the many songbirds we've not had time to learn the names of by their chips and trills. Here, where bees effervesce in gold light, water still spilling on the rocks, and inside the softly carpeted fairy ring, where braided shadows of redwoods drape, nests of mice, voles. Breath comes more softly, standing at the picket fence of graves. London under the red rock, fresh ashes poured in a mound nearby. We wondered if that's desecration or a human right. It comes deeper in the garden of rosemary, lavender, and quicker at the cottage when we realize the woodpeckers will win in the end with no one to mend the walls. Dear Jack, I like peeking in the windows to see your desk, your books, your sleeping porch, and Charmaine's where you were brought to die. but mostly I like to walk the land left to us. Is there anything you can do from where you are? Be a hero. Send a ship or a good dog. Think wolf house, happy house, this restful, delicious house of air. We breathe here better than almost anywhere, distressed. At Sugarloaf, imagine. No fog draped on the green furred mountain, no wondering of birdsong sprinkled through breezes, or laughter rising from the campground of muddied knees. No gold reflection of Kenyan memories, no prints of rabbits or bobcats pushed deep next to the black-rocked stream. No ferns to feel, shaped like tropic feathers, no feeling small in the beauty of it all. No cry of the red tail, no rush of engines or siren wail, no smell of wet earth in the buzzing bowl, no vulture circling high up beneath us, fog blowing like dry ice across the stage of pine and bay. No sudden open space, no space. No fronds gently bent in the wind, purple buds wild through, no watching for the least mucky step, the most wild turkey, fan spread, or the shyest quail. No solitude, no peace, no low cloud billow, billow. No wooden outhouse under the trees, no water silking the stones, no red thistle or sign for sun, for Mars. No fresh scat on the rock mid-path, no fly. Meadow, 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 oh beautiful for spacious, and the live oaks crowning the hills, blackberry blooms, nature's museum, and a butterfly on the sleeve. The clear stream, deep brown on the bend. No boulders tossed from St. Helena, no birds and buds we can't name by name, but need just the same. No snake stretched across our path, no spot overhung by trees where pebbles thrown upward bring bats. No old oak of arms mossed and broken. A note, standing on a bridge listening to water rush over rocks is not the same as a CD, a Blu-ray, a live stream. Blue-bellied lizard, blue-tailed skink, swallowtails and Pacific fritillary lead us past California sisters. Farewell to spring, blue-eyed grass. Farewell, farewell. No sugar loaf, no.
This is Jody Hoddle. Redwood Walk, Armstrong Woods. Beneath the vault of redwoods, spindly gray arms offer up quivering yellow leaves, radiate back the meager sunlight they have gathered. Shocking profusion of dense furry moss encircles tree trunks, wobbly fences. Close inspection reveals miniature forests, hanging gardens dripping fertility. Here, holy silence so rare, not even bird songs dare disturb. In discomfort we spoil it with our chatter, gradually settling, listening to all that is absent. How restful to fill our eyes with verdancy, comfortable umber and foggy gray, to tread on the sponge of decay, follow a breadcrumb trail of bright golden leaves.
Hi, this is Ed Coletti. Creek Bridge, Sugarloaf. A choice from here. View left for water arriving, or right for water departing. I go left, then go right, which seems just about correct. Three steps and an echo. Gray mist creeps up, disappearing slope. Witches stew below. Tree limb shadows cross and crisscross weave this trail. Blue-bellied lizard, blue-tailed skink regard each other put apart familiar staring game till skink loses interest, withdraws. Jack London loved pigs, so call of the child, ending in piglets, all the way down.
This is Gail Larrick. The night the crickets began to sing, the last spring frogs burrow into mud, leaving behind a few nights of silence. Moon behind dark clouds etches the sky with masks, draperies of light. After the silent nights, a ringing quiver of crickets fills evening just after dusk. A new song, played like a bow across a violin, starts, stops on a single note. What came before silence is forgotten. Silence is forgotten. Only the song of the crickets contains the night, calls out. Stay awake, stay with the music we make. Hear how we sing in waves, layers of sound, a chorus that moves over grass in the dark. Something or someone passes. The music stops. A leap of silence as loud as the crickets opens the night. A long rest before the song goes on. Longing at day's end. In the after dusk, geese move into range, honk their way over my head and into silence. Mosquitoes bite at my ankles and my hands, and the dry bare grass sends up its dusty fragrance over the sound of the stream. I've brought an apple, a crisp pink lady, in my bag. I sit down in the leaves that cover the trail and take the first juicy bite. A dragonfly, blue and iridescent even in the late light, nearly brushes my face. This is who I want to be for the rest of my life, the one who registers the senses and owns her place in whatever place she is in. It began that way when I was first in the flesh and exploring. The world was an open safe, all its treasures available. Now, in the wilderness of growing older, that wholeness I want comes only in interruptions of the chatter of life, until the Canada geese sail over in full voice on the stream trips over a rock, or the dragonfly flits by. I want to be awake.
This is Phyllis Meshulam. Wolf House, Jack London State Park, July 2011. Wolf House rises like a dream, forest amid forest, russet mossed dolmens, scaffolded theater, ruined abbey, a castle 100 years asleep. Call back the child spirits, pioneer toddlers left under wooden headstones, peeling paint lichens, all the children who heard gravel crunch and crow flap. Call any who listened and aimed their lives. Past the stone-framed mirror pond, ringed with daisies and lenten rose, past the clabbered cottage, its study dim, sleeping porches clotheslined with bold words and death scenes. Across the way at the ranch, our family sat one summer afternoon. Jack reincarnate, strutting, daughter's mind, dandelion blown. Her voice now rises from sleek electronic like a genie. What she says, what Da Vinci said. I have sinned. God gave me talent, and I didn't use it. Our laughter boomerangs around Wolf House, archway through archway. Then silence. In redwood space, a green-needled filtered afternoon. Bay leaves stewed. Muse, music. A visitation. A history whispered to children.
This is Hannah Majora. Braille markers. Who can walk on a sugar loaf and not track honeyed memories back home? Taupe breast of tanning hill, cleavage yet green. Vermilion dirt ribbon topography. Ornaments of serpentine studs on flannel soft knolls. Fog like smoke sprouting from active caldera. Secrets folded into mute mountain lips. Foxtails, rabbit tail grass, wild oats confirm which way the wind breathes. Clean-shaven, burnished madrone lays down to die undisturbed. Swales of oak squaws squat as if their roots could ferret out sound. Horizon shrunk to scaly log stalemate, neon-nubbed skink, rash fence lizard. Bend where two creeks disagree, sliding their separate ways. Somber lichen and moss-caked rocks dome like beehives. Stained glass flashes of anise swallowtail, white checkered skipper, morning cloak, California sister. Bruised elbows of sagacious, tenacious mother oak, her heart laid open. A snake in sugarloaf. You lay stick straight across the trail, exposed, at rest. Solar panels of dark chocolate saddles, pocked with gray stipples, draw warmth into your torpid blood. Pituophis catenifer, gopher snake. My shadow's cast seems of no concern. Your heavily keeled scales rise and fall placidly. Relieved you are not your rattler cousin Diamondback, I know you can mimic her don't tread on me admonitions. Triangulate your oval head, beat your naked tail against the ground like a rattle, coil, hiss. Today you don't feel the need to shape shift and let your brill slide sleepily over your eyes. Rest peacefully, snake. I'll take this watch over Eden.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you are listening to various poets read from the new anthology, What Redwoods Know, Poems from California State Parks. A benefit reading for the California State Parks Foundation will take place on Saturday, November 5th at 7 p.m. at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts. Many of the poets who appear in What Redwoods Know, Poems from California State Parks, will be there that night, and all proceeds from the sale of the books go to the California State Parks Foundation. Admission is free. Again, that's Saturday, November 5th at 7 p.m. at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts. Let's hear a few more poems now. Up next is Lee Slonimsky, reading three of his poems from the book. One of them gave the title to the book, What Redwoods Know. Following Lee is the final poet, Paula Konieczny reading part of her long sequence poem from the book. You're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM.
This is Lee Slonimsky. A New Yorker roams Jack London. This shimmering so deep it seems to paint the atoms green. Ah, noon! How dense a grove, July heat-drenched, but green tint is in love with brisk shadows, and you have no complaint. You left your job, and weekdays now are free for basque and slow reflection, reveries that ease your mind as if a sudden breeze cooled summer's simmer and made worries flee. There's only 8 weeks' money left, but now you feel as if these woods could be your home. State land not well patrolled. The rules allow a mild degree of camping anyway. You might as well join deer in stealthy roam. That's all the sun-soaked forest has to say. One cell at Armstrong Woods. The way these redwoods hurl themselves toward sky, and yet with all the patience in the world, so slowly it's like time itself has stopped. This lets you see the atoms inside green, the trembling universe of just one needle, the love affair between soft, misty breeze and bark, the common heritage of people, trees. One cell immemorial with DNA that branched off into branches, then our arms, the skyscraping of treetops, then our plains, the love of bark for wind, then ours for air. These trees are hands of earth that open wide and point at light, the mother of all green. Exclaim that earth is not a mere machine. Yes, redwoods fathom history and more. Their core of animation, robust cells, the wondrous scope of skyscrape green above. A New York banker visits Armstrong Woods. You ease into the slow of redwoods here, the large, the high, the love of earth for size. They live a life you'd love to if you dared. One says I'm tree, and if I'm not as wise as sunlight, breezes, the softness of rain, there's still real genius in my bark. Look, now, I am the ultimate nature allows, a bastion for the green as wild woods wane. You count dry dollars at the bank, but here there is no tedium, no despondency. You'll count the branches on a single tree straight up to sky, and that is ecstasy. This is the place to live among the slow, the high, the vast, to know what redwoods know.
This is Paula Konieczny. The name of my poem is Closed Forever. Symbolism alone is dangerous. Kylie Mendonca. Date: June 8, 2011. Time: 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Elevation: 600 to 2,729 feet at the top of Bald Mountain. Latitude: 38 degrees 27 minutes 24.552 seconds north. Longitude: 122 degrees, 31 minutes, 21.468 minutes west. Atmosphere: fog lifting to sunshine, breeze. Surrounded by local materials, grocers broke off pieces, folios and crustos, to sell the sugar loaf, Triticale hyacinthina, Acer macrophyllum, almost every trace, cut and slowly burnt to charcoal, has disappeared. Inside a ring of hills, Willicos, Mayacamas, light pollution decreases, shrinking the solar system, pale swallowtail,
more than 2,360,000,000 times. We hike from Earth to Mars, Western fence lizard known as blue belly, California sister, black-tailed deer, each step equal to introduced species, 1,000,000 miles in empty space, every 5 seconds, upper reaches, headwaters, we walk at the speed of light. Department of Natural Resources, mandate, assignment, contract, conserve, use carefully, keep constant, protect, guard, set aside, restore, reestablish, make restitution, enhance, augment, ameliorate. Time, 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Date, June 29, 2011. Conditions, bright overcast, momentary drizzle, 58 to 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Latitude, 38 degrees, 42 minutes, 90.783 seconds north. Longitude, 122 degrees, 62 minutes, 47.068 seconds west. Elevation, 360 to 887 feet at the top of Bennett Mountain. Lock your vehicle to protect your valuables. Tiny white fritillaries spring in the seep. Where the trail terminates, trailblazing is prohibited. Quarrying disturbs a pattern. Do not collect any minerals or flowers. Poison oak secures the watershed. Obsidian understory, arching wooded valley, spice bush, horse trough. No diving is allowed from land-based features. Marsh not stocked with red-legged frogs. Enter the water at your own risk. Cascades of ocean spray. Wood, when tempered, can be turned into nails. Use only named trails. Small gauge, narrow gauge, cobblestone. Do not attempt to feed or pet. Seeds hold next year's bloom.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you have been listening to just some of the poems that are included in the book What Redwoods Know, Poems from California State Parks. I will give you a reminder about the benefit reading taking place in Sebastopol at the end of this show. Up next, I'm going to play some poems read by Susan Kelly DeWitt, who is the author of The Fortunate Islands, and Francisco X. Alarcón. His books include Sonnets to Madness and Other Misfortunes, as well as a number of other very interesting collections. But first, it's time for our musical interlude. Here is Wilco singing California Stars.
Lay my head tonight on a bed.
And now here are Susan Kelly DeWitt and Francisco X. Alarcón.
So I'm going to begin with poems from my book, The Fortunate Islands. And this one comes out of visiting a friend near Bolinas, egrets at Bolinas Lagoon. They looked like callas or tulips you could gather with a fist, or white amaryllis you could snip from their shimmering place in the world. You could slip from their stems with sharp scissors. But they were toiling the salt underveins, tunneling the weedy caverns with yellow pickaxes, hunting up a shining nugget of flesh. I thought of Van Gogh again. Making progress is like miner's work. The birds that glowed like headlamps were transformed by those alchemical words into painters and poets. That same night, I woke nauseous in a sweat with all the old worries. I visited a lot the old Sacramento Cemetery, which is only a few blocks from where I live, and this poem came out of that, those travels. The old Sacramento Cemetery. Even the rows of stones are askew, and on the unkempt plots, nothing but bare soil. A poor ceiling for the women knitted together under ghostly quilts of leaf shadow. Women who stitched gingham, patched poplin, washed denim. Women who liked things neat. Who planted roses brought burlapped from the east in Conestogas. Who put down roots like submerged wishes. Women who followed the dreams of men west. The small pioneers went first, feverish and nailed into their wagons. Sweet Nettie, whose bird bones nest among ivory sashes 100 years old, and Frankie, buried in whalebone cufflinks, scrimshaw fossils of clipper ships with puffed sails. Tintypes glint, tarnished illuminations of souls fixed under constellations strange to them as western trees. Under elm-tinted light, unlaced leaves, what skeletal shadows congeal over the graves of child brides, girl mothers who miscarried, and those other green girls who still carry the tapered fish-like traces of infants curled in the bone pods. Shortly after 9/11, I was traveling on Highway 4, and I wrote this poem from the bales of hay along Highway 4, and that's its title, Bales Along Highway 4. Stacked against the horizon of storm clouds, they looked historical, the fields bound feet. We imagined we heard each of them say, we can't breathe in these corsets. Undo us. We couldn't resist the idea of tinder in the eyes of some twisted beholder, his three bad wishes. And after that, a fire could be heard in our minds, over the timid ears of corn, the lowing of frightened cattle. We thought of the match and the machete. We remembered Millet's radical pastorals, his bent peasants with their pitchforks and scythes and short, harsh lives given up to labor. We pictured the fragrant lion-colored bales of hay lying down with the fat winter lambs. This one is called Reading Town. On Cypress Avenue, I watch for the ghosts of Wintu women with willow root baskets, pine nut skirts, poles spread with the silver skins and carmine flesh of drying salmon. I spot them in a half circle along Churn Creek Road near a boarded up deli. They are watching a great-great-granddaughter, 1/16th on her father's side, pump unleaded into her battered pickup, a sleek feather dangling, the power of eagle, from her rear view. I wonder if their baskets still hold blackbird feathers, salmon bones, a future. One of the poems I like to read is from the days when I was teaching in the prisons, and I would drive from the prison up in Folsom across the Yolo Causeway to teach women's literature at night at a junior college in Woodland, California. And so I would see the egrets along the way, and this is called Egrets Along the Yolo Causeway. Every day I watch how they float into the wind, how they stretch their legs out behind them like burnt matchsticks, then fall, heavy as drugged eyelids, into muddy browns, crushed iris blues. How they plunge suddenly as danger or stupor into the shadows of a ditch. Often climbing up out of a shadowed place myself, out of a muggy, airless wetland where thoughts grow dark seeds like wild rice. I spot one, a loner, drifting below the causeway, wading the weedy edges of slough grass, his yellow beak gleaming like a cutlass. Focused on the task at hand, beauty is not even a vague idea to him, or truth. He'll stab whatever helps him live. Every day as I travel past them from the prison where I teach men to uncage hope, snap open the hinges, I watch how they lift from the rich delta plowlands, how they glide free, a wholeness like one white feather, unlocked from its body, shiftless and holy.
That was Susan Kelly DeWitt reading from The Fortunate Islands. I recorded an interview with Francisco X. Alarcón. We obviously don't have time for that interview tonight. I will air it next year. But right now, here is Francisco reading a number of his poems.
This poem, and is dedicated to all the poets who had sent poems to our page on Facebook that is called Poets Responding to SB 1070. This poem is nameless, unlisted, already up before the sun comes out, waiting for the next bus, pickup truck. This poem is speechless, but warm flesh. Wrinkles on skin mark his poetic lines. Night kisses, morning kisses, his bed's rhymes. This poem has the cadence of embraces, loving breaths, arm fights for sleepless nights. This poem is as quiet as a desert night. His sky stars are the punctuation marks of his verses. Three branches recite this poem by heart. This poem has the same dreams as you, the same nightmares, goals, and fears, trembling before the news of his own demise. This poem is everything but faceless. It's a bright teenager, trapped in the dark, soulless, dreamless, no man's land that a dream at could just vanish. This poem cries from the back of the bus. Children tears wipe out the lines of this poem. This poem is a mother, a father, a neighbor, a human being, bone and flesh, walking around, buying groceries, disposable diapers. This poem is beyond any poetry anthology. We have a heart, a soul, a familia, just like you. This poem is the written poem of this land. four. Your hands are two hammers that joyfully nail down and pray up the morning. Tender fists that unfold from earth, sweet bunches of small bananas. Your hands smell of the blackberries. Your harvest in the fields that steal your sweat at $2 a bucket. The hard, warm, young and wise holes that bring bread to the tables. Dark stones that give light when struck, blessed support anchor of the universe. I worship them as reliquaries because, like nesting seagulls, they console, delight, defend me. 10. There are two ways in this world: to see yourself one day in the mirror or never see your true self-image. To see yourself is to live, not seeing yourself as death. You tell me, Francisco, look at me. I am more than my look, more than a passing smile on the street, more than pale horizons. The one who looks at you is more than the one you look at. Seeing myself in you, I discover who I am. I want you to see yourself likewise in me. Looking at me, see yourself looking at you. Look at me, for I see myself in you. Look at me, for you are my mirror. Look at me. I want to be yours. Sunflower, we will know the new sun has arrived when it starts raining backwards and the sea and the sky becomes one blue continuum. We will know the era of the new sun prophesied by our ancestors has begun. When the world's highest concern becomes the colors and the scents of flowers sprouting from nowhere, everywhere. I like to finish with an avatar invocation.
Please do.
Because I think, you know, this is the way you do. You open the magic and then you end with the magic. And so this is, since I collected my corn, you know, I came from Mexico 2 weeks ago. And I planted corn, and now the corn is flowering in my backyard. And so this is for planting corn. The poem goes in Nahuatl. No maca ni huatl, ni tla macaski, tla chihualuian. No hueletiu, tona catzihuatl, tla chihualuian, tla tecutli. And the poem goes on. The whole translation in English goes, for planting corn, I myself, spirit in flesh. Hear me, Tonacachihuatl, elder sister, lady of our flesh. Hear me, Tlatecutli, Mother Earth. On your open hand, I'm sending down my elder sister, Tonacachihuatl. Don't shame yourself. Don't grumble. Don't laugh at us. Tomorrow or the day after, I want to see again the face of my elder sister, Tonacachihuatl. Let her stand on the ground. I shall greet, I shall honor my elder sister, Dona Catzihuatl.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you are just listening to poet Francisco X. Alarcón. His collections include Se Uno One, that's C-E, Uno One, From the Other Side of Night, Sonnets to Madness and Other Misfortunes, and Of Dark Love, as well as a number of children's collections. I will have an interview with him aired next year sometime. Before we sign out tonight, I want to let you know of a number of events that are taking place around Sonoma County during the month of October. First of all, on Saturday, October 22nd at 4 o'clock p.m., Petaluma Art Council's Day of the Dead celebration presents the Poetry of Remembrance Community Reading and Potluck Supper. It takes place at 230 Lakeville Street in Petaluma. Also in October, Sunday the 23rd at 2:30 p.m., Bierce returns. Felix Justice is Ambrose Bierce at Reader's Books in Sonoma. Justice will perform an original dramatic monologue written by Bart Schneider in celebration of two Ambrose Bierce books just published by Schneider's Kelly's Cove Press, The Devil's Dictionary, and two Civil War stories. The first part of tonight's program featured just some of the poets reading some of the poems from What Redwoods Know, Poems from California State Parks. This book was published in response to the announcement that 70 of our beautiful state parks are slated for permanent closure effective September of next year. The benefit reading will take place on November 5th, Saturday, November 5th, at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts at 7 p.m. A good number of the poems, a good number of the poets who appear in this book will be there to read that night, and all money collected over the cost of the books will go to the California State Parks Foundation. And right now, we're hoping that someone from the foundation will be there. The poets included in the book are Francisco Alarcón, David Beckman, Janine Cannon, Ed Coletti, Iris Jamal Dunkel, Catherine Hastings, Jody Hoddle, Susan Kelly DeWitt, Paula Konizny, Gail Larrick, Anna Majora, Phyllis Meshulam, New York poet Lee Slonimsky, who loves to walk in our parks, and Robert Sward. So I hope that you will not only come that night, but help spread the word. We would like to raise as much money as we can for the California State Parks Foundation. Thank you very much for listening to tonight's show. If you have any comments or questions, as usual, you know I want to hear them, so contact me at khastings@wordtemple.com. Thanks for listening. Thank you.